Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Life Wired podcast, and thank you guys for joining us on this Sunday, May 28th. Today's episode is going to be all about crushing your weekend nutrition. And this topic really stood out to Chris and I because we know that both of us have struggled with this over the years. And, you know, I know that there's definitely people out there that can be more intuitive, that have success, you know, throughout the week as well as the weekend. But I know for myself, if I'm not following these 10 guidelines, it is going to be very, very hard for me to stay on track with the amount of calories that I am really trying to eat every single day, even as it relates over the weekend. And so before we begin, this episode is brought to you by Nash Nutrition. The Nash Bar is made with simple and nourishing ingredients, 20 grams of protein, and is naturally sweetened with honey and dates. And what a lot of people don't realize is that most of the so-called, you know, healthy protein bars that you guys are going to find in most stores and on the market are unfortunately heavily processed with fillers and unnatural ingredients. And we know that if we consume too much of this processed food too often, it can eventually lead to long-term health issues. And so this is why Chris and I love the Nash bars. We never have to even think twice about the ingredients or the potential negative outcome that can happen if we're consuming these bars consistently every single day. And so these truly are the good for you protein bars. And so the next release is going to happen Thursday, June 1st at 6 p.m. So make sure you guys set your reminders to get yourself a box of bars to try. So head to the show notes after the episode, head to the link to the website, and get notified on that next drop. So on to today's episode, which is episode number 87, 10 tips to win the weekend with nutrition. And so, you know, Christina and I were reflecting back on times when we first met, and especially like during the summer months where, you know, we tend to be more social, we tend to, you know, do more stuff with friends, eat out more, you know, grill out more, do all sorts of different activities. And, you know, it's just very hard in general, guys, to hit your nutrition when it comes to weekend eating. Like, it's just so easy to be more social. You know, people are snacking or drinking. It's just very, very easy to rack up the calories. And kind of like I said in the beginning of this, there are some people out there, you know, who can crush it no matter what. I know I'm not one of those people. I know I have to have a certain level of discipline around my eating habits, or I can very much so stumble into very, very high caloric surpluses over the weekend. And so I know that giving myself, you know, kind of this template or these tips essentially to follow over the weekend has been crucial for me to really get my weekend eating consistent with my weekday eating. And, you know, it kind of goes back to, we talked about on a podcast before, like balance and flexibility and those different just adjectives around, you know, incorporating just flexibility in general, like not being so crazy about your diet. And so we're big believers in that. You know, we do believe in that balance and deviating from, you know, maybe a typical eating routine that you would do throughout the week. But we just want to try to essentially like lessen the blow as much as possible if we are going to deviate from some of our healthier eating habits or some of our more optimal eating habits.
Yeah, and reflecting back to the earlier summers when we first started dating, we would go out to restaurants and I would just stop tracking on the weekends, or when we would go and celebrate weekends like this, Memorial Day weekend or something like that. I would just not have any structure on the weekend and I'd start over Monday. And something that we realized, like, I think it was last summer, we were like, why on the weekends are we always so snacky? We have Lesser Evil popcorn. We always go to Whole Foods and like stock up on some like good snacks and like foods to cook at home. But we would just like snack more because we had snacks on the weekends and we don't have snacks in the house during the week just because it's not in our, like, we make a weekly menu and we grocery shop accordingly. And last summer we had a conversation. We're like, why are we so snacky on the weekends? And it's because we're out of our normal routine and structure, and because we weren't like hitting our water goal on that day specifically. So a lot of times we confuse hunger with dehydration, and think about the summer months. You're outside, you're more active, you're swimming, you're drinking alcohol. You're most likely dehydrated. You're not really hungry or snacky. And so that's something that I was like, okay, I'm not going to like start snacking or start deviating from my normal eating unless I've hit my water goal or unless I've had protein at each meal. So then we started to realize, like, without even purposefully doing it, we had these weekend non-negotiables set in place because we do this thing together. And obviously we know that's not the case for everybody, but it does make it easier when you have these 10 things we're going to talk about here very soon. And then once we made that switch, like early in the summer last year, our weekends were not our, what I like to call with my clients, our weekend, where you crush it all week and then the weekend you kind of throw it out the window. Because if you think about a certain amount of alcoholic beverages, like, you can make smart decisions with like 1, 2, maybe 3, but anything after that, it's when your decision making goes out the window. You decide, I want that soul food instead of that goal food. I want to stay out 2 hours later, then go home and wake up early and work out. So I stopped negotiating with myself because I gave myself a certain amount of alcoholic beverages, not like super strict, but I know up to a point where it's going to make me feel like shit, or it's going to make me make not the best decision making when it comes to nutrition and workouts and my weekend habits. So there is that fine line of what balance looks like, but I think just having a conversation with yourself and realizing what your weak points are helps us to find our strengths and create a solid game plan that you don't have to like go through a checklist and say, did I accomplish all 10 of these things each weekend, but just slowly start to implement them. And then you'll start to realize like the summer and the weekends don't have to derail your progress. We actually got more lean, like got leaner and leaner and leaner all summer long last year because we implemented these 10 things unintentionally.
Yeah. And I think for most of you out there, kind of like I said, just lessening the blow, you know, like trying to use these strategies so you're not, you know, for like Christina saying, like going off the rails with maybe alcohol or off the rails with snacking. Like it really just comes down to reflecting on, kind of like Christina said, you know, what is working for me? What is not working for me as it relates to my own health and fitness goals? And that is going to look different for everybody. We talked about that on the podcast where we were talking about balance and flexibility. Like, everyone kind of has to define what that balance and flexibility means to them, but you also have to be realistic with like, are my, you know, actions in alignment with ultimately the outcomes I'm looking to achieve, you know, in my health and my fitness and just in my life in general. And so to start things off, the first tip that we wanted to talk about was like really how to crush it when you guys are at restaurants. I hear this a lot with clients. I just talked with a client going into a trip this weekend and we were kind of strategizing around how to approach his eating habits and hitting his calorie goal, his protein goal. Because I think most people look at like eating out as like no chance in hell I'm ever going to be able to track this food that I'm, you know, getting. And Christina actually amazes me all the time. Like she's always finding, you know, little things inside of her, like MyFitnessPal and the other tracking apps that we've used where she's able to find like very replicable meals inside the database that reflect what we're eating at the restaurant. Even if it's not like 100% perfect or 100% accurate, it at least gives us an idea of where we're at. And I think one of the easiest ways to not only track the food at the restaurant, but also to get a more optimal meal while you're at the restaurant is really leaning into those high protein meals. And when we talk about high protein meals, like 9 times out of 10, most restaurants have like a salad area on the menu where there's like different types of salads. And, you know, on all of almost at every restaurant I've ever been to, they allow you to customize like protein, like being able to throw, it'll say like plus chicken or like plus steak, where you can like add a protein to the salad. And what I'll do personally and what I'll advise my clients do is, you know, find a salad that's optimal on the menu and then just add one or two servings of that protein. And then they typically will tell you, and you can easily ask like, hey, how many ounces of, you know, steak is this protein or is this added protein? And they'll tell you, you know, 6-8 ounces, whatever it is, so that you can get an idea of like the sizing and the portion of the protein on that salad if you want to really get into the details. And then another easy way to crush it is to find those entrees that are like protein like based, where it's either, you know, say a fish entree, like a salmon entree or a tilapia entree, or they might have like a steak on the menu. A lot of restaurants have half chickens. That's another, you know, staple entree item on most menus. And these were the kind of things that I was always seeking out. For example, when I used to travel as a sales manager, I would be going to all sorts of different cities, never really were able to cook any of my meals in the moment. And so I always had to like find, you know, these go-to menu items at these restaurants. And while like you guys don't always have to be like, you know, going out of your way to find these, like you still do, again, want to lessen the blow. So if you have a weekend where there's like a ton of weekend eating and a ton of eating out, like maybe pick one or two of those meals that are going to be, say, less optimal, and then focus on all those other meals around some of those decisions or some of those options that I just gave, you know, with the salad or the entree. And you guys would be shocked at just how much easier it is, like, to gain a sense of like, what is the total volume of what I'm eating? What generally is about the protein amount that I'm eating? And then I can figure out, like, is this going to be more optimal for me and my situation and my definition of balance? Or is it not? And you guys can easily, you know, make those decisions based off of like what specific situation you're in that given moment at that restaurant. But I know for a fact that like finding and singling out like the salad entrees or the protein-based entrees are something that really, really helps us crush it, like when we're traveling or we're eating out on the weekend with friends. And that's something that we always advise for our clients.
Yeah, and I was just going to give an example of like when we went to Denver, how we kind of ate out at these restaurants, because it's very similar to what you just explained. If you go out for a brunch, I would typically get like a hash of some kind that has like a turkey sausage or an egg on top. Then I get extra turkey sausage on the side. And I know, Zach, we get like very similar things when we go out to eat. Then for lunch, finding a very like fast casual spot like a Chipotle or a Sweetgreen. We went to Sweetgreen and we both got double protein. And it's so funny that people always ask like, are you sure you want double protein? It's a upcharge. And we're like, yeah.
I'm like, I don't care how much it is. Give me all the protein.
Yeah. So we always get double protein when we go either to a restaurant or like a fast casual place like that. And then for like dinners, we would either get steak. Like that's always a good option. I always look at my clients' logs on the weekends. And when they exceed their protein on the weekend, I'm like, I guarantee they went to a steakhouse every time they do. Just make sure it's a leaner cut because that obviously helps with the volume eating. And then when we went to Denver, I got a steak at one of the restaurants and you got a fish.
Yeah, it was like the Branzino where they do like the whole fish with the bone in and everything. It was kind of actually, it's kind of difficult to pick around the bones, but it was really good fish, really good food.
Yeah, super high in protein. And then when there's a couple places near our apartment that we go on the weekends typically, and we like to either replicate those meals at home or we'll go to specific spots like right in our neighborhood. And I always get like this tuna steak bowl with double steak. And I asked them like how much tuna steak is on there and they told me it was 4 ounces. So when I go on my Fitness Pal, I log it as 8 ounces of tuna steak over rice and over veggies. And it's super easy to track. And if you're someone who goes out to eat like often, I would say pick one night where you choose something fun and then one night where you're choosing something similar to what you would eat at home. Because if you eat out like 3 or 4 days a week, it's going to add up because it's typically higher in portion size and higher in like oils and butter and just like the cooking process, you can't really account for like the exact portion sizes. You're not bringing your food scale and I do not recommend doing that at all. But what I would say here is like if you're eating out multiple times a week for the first like couple of nights, like pick something you'd eat at home, like a salad. I know it sounds boring when we probably said like order a salad, you probably rolled your eyes on the other end of this podcast. But if you're eating out often, especially in the summer months, you have to choose decisions that align with your goals and then choose one night on the weekend where you eat something kind of different than you would eat at home, but it still is based around protein.
It's never like the one drink or the one dessert or even like the one meal. It's always an accumulation of all of the total volume of food that we're consuming. So it's like, you know, the big hefty, you know, pasta dinner, then it's like, you know, the 5 to 10 drinks, and then it's like the couple you know, different stops for snacks. Like it's always like the accumulation of the whole day or night that tends to bite us in the ass versus like just being smart about that total volume when we're trying to control for our total amount of calorie intake.
Yeah, it's like a compound effect. It's either working positively for you or it's working negatively for you. So make sure you're moving in the positive direction. And I think protein forward meals is one of the things that helps all my clients, whether you're traveling, you're eating at a family member's house, you're cooking out for Memorial Day weekend, for example, you can always find something that's high in protein. I think the summer months are even easier for that because most of it's grilling out. You can choose a chicken, you can choose a burger, just take the bun off if you're having like multiple sides of carbs and drinks and desserts. Just make smart decisions basically around protein. The second tip is 2 big meals. And we used to be like big intermittent fasters. And when I say 2 big meals on the weekend, we're not like huge intermittent fasters anymore on the weekend. But when we travel, we typically like to have a big breakfast. And just being realistic, it's hard to space your calories out on the weekends. Let's say you wake up, like we wake up at like 7 a.m. not even intentionally. It's just like our body clock wakes us up then because we wake up at 5 o'clock during the week. It's hard to space your calories out if you're eating out, if you're going to be drinking from like 7 a.m. till like midnight. Let's say you're going out, you're having a late dinner with friends at like 8 p.m. This is why I think earlier dinners are a little bit nicer because you can have like bigger meals and your eating window is a little bit shorter, which helps you choose something that's like both fun and aligns with your goals. So for us, like when we go on to Arizona, when we go to Denver, we typically have 2 larger meals. I typically eat like a breakfast hash with extra protein on the side. We typically get lattes at a coffee shop and that right there is like 600 calories. And for a lot of us women, we don't have like a ton of calories to work with on the weekends or, you know, during the week, it's easier because you're eating, you know, your routine meals, you're eating lower calorie meals. But when we're eating out, we typically get a larger, you know, breakfast and then we go explore, we walk around, we do things. Then we have like a 4 or 5 o'clock dinner. And then by like 7 p.m., our calories are done for the day, but we had some drinks. We had 2 really good meals. Or if you get hungry in between, you could have like a little shake. And I'm big on the Fab Four lifestyle, which is Kelly Levesque. She's a celebrity dietitian. She talks about how, you know, balancing your blood sugar helps balance your hunger levels, which is a huge piece of this navigating the weekend nutrition as well. But she talks about having like a mini protein shake. If you have like 2 larger meals, just have a little protein shake in between. We've been big on buying like the Koya, their dairy-free protein shakes. You can get them at gas stations when we're traveling. Whole Foods, you can get them like anywhere, Kroger, and you can have like a half of one of those or one of those in between. So if like 2 big meals sounds like very daunting to you, you'd be surprised how like 2 very filling meals can fill you up throughout the day. I don't even realize I'm skipping lunch because we'll have our big meal at like 10 or 11 a.m. It lasts me until our dinner. But if I get hungry, I bring like a small protein bar or one of these Koyas and have it in between.
Yeah, having just like something high protein, even if it is like a snack in between those meals or around those meals, can really help you get closer to that protein goal, even if you're kind of more so out of routine, for example. And so our third tip is essentially eating one night in and then eating one night out. And this kind of just plays into the bigger part of like the weekend as a whole. Like if we just look at the weekend, we're kind of just talking about like inputs, outputs here, about just being strategic about, you know, how much are we eating out, for example, in a given weekend. And because if we think about it, guys, it's super easy where, like, you know, we get off work Friday night, we go out with friends, you know, we have drinks, we have a dinner out, then it's super easy to do like brunch on Saturday, dinner Saturday night again, and then like Sunday, you know, you might be feeling a little shitty, might be feeling a little anxious, and then you're like going balls to the wall on some like wings or something like that. And I'm kind of just talking more so from like a guy's perspective.
Back in the day.
Yeah, literally. And I've lived these kind of weekends. You know, I'm speaking a lot from experience, and it's just very easy to like eat, like crush it all week long and get to that weekend, and it's literally like the Friday dinner, the brunch, the Saturday dinner, the Sunday eating. And it's just like before you know it, it's like this accumulation of like way more calories than we wanted to actually consume, versus like we could still have a lot of those meals out and still maybe like have the wings on a Sunday, but just control for the total amount of volume. And it's one of the hardest things to do. I know that's something that held me back for a really long time. And so that's why, you know, something that I've really done over the years that has helped me so much is like gotten kind of like we said in this third tip, where, you know, one of those meals or a couple of those meals are going to be just regular home cooked meals. And then like one or two of those are going to be out and about. And again, still being smart about what we're getting, like when we're out, but also making sure that, you know, we're not just completely going crazy all weekend. And I think that if we can look at it as, okay, maybe if I know I'm going to be going out a lot Saturday, maybe like have Friday night, you know, in, cook just a normal dinner that you would during the week, you know, go out Saturday, maybe do the brunch, do the dinner, be smart about total volume. And then Sunday, use that as your opportunity to get right back on track, so that the like Monday, when Monday rolls around, it doesn't feel like, you don't feel a whole lot of resistance getting back on track. And that's something that I think has helped Christina and I out a ton, is like getting Sunday to look a whole lot like Monday.
Yeah. And exactly when we go out on like a Saturday, for example, and we want to eat in on Friday to like create balance, that's like ultimately balances. We can't go out all weekend and say we were balanced if that's not really aligning with our goals. But Friday nights, we've been trying to recreate meals that we would get out to eat. So like I said, that tuna steak bowl I typically get at the restaurant that we love, we would just make that at home. We would go to Whole Foods, like get the ingredients, but cooking it at home, number one, saves you money. Number two, you control the portion sizes. You control the consistency of tracking. If you know the next day, you won't be able to control the portion size, the consistency of tracking, and you'll be spending more money. This also helps you balance your financial budgets too, along with your calorie budgets. But we'll create a meal that we would get out to eat. So that's when we started creating that like protein pasta, because on Friday night, we're like, we want to eat in. We don't eat a normal dinner because we want it to feel like a weekend. So we made a protein pasta. Then we made the tuna steak dinner. And then this Friday too, we stayed in and we were like, what are we kind of feeling? We wanted to make like a chicken thigh dinner. So just like create something that's different, but that you look forward to eating. And it can really make that one night in feel like a date night out, which helps it become more sustainable, because you don't feel like you're just eating, you know, your normal dinner, just like you would during the week. But number four is using calorie only options with protein at each meal. And I do this on the weekends. This is what I recommend to all my clients. Obviously, my program is called Built and Balanced, so I want it to be a balanced approach on the weekends. So I used to track like full macros throughout the weekend, and it's just like very meticulous. And the main reason I don't coach that on the weekends is because, unless there's like a deadline, like if you're getting married the next week, of course I'd recommend being as strategic and consistent and accurate as possible. But just for like a lifestyle client, for myself too, like just being present on the weekends is the main thing. I don't want people to be in my fitness pal when they're at dinner with their family members or someone they love, and they're just like on their phone the entire time stressing about what they're logging. So some of these strategies we're going to talk about later in the episode will prevent that too. But I recommend using a calorie only option. So like, let's say your calories are 2000 and then you have like 150 gram protein goal, and then you have your carb and fat goals. I would recommend tracking your full macros like Monday through Friday. If you have plans on Friday, make that your calorie and protein only day, meaning you're hitting your calorie goal, you're hitting your protein goal, but you're not worried so much about carbs and fat, because if you're logging alcohol, that's coming from somewhere, and I don't want it to be protein. You want to make sure you're especially focusing on protein when you're drinking, because drinking alcohol turns off your muscle protein synthesis. So your body, even if you worked out, you hit a leg day, your body's worried about breaking down that toxin in your body and detoxing it versus replenishing your muscle with that protein that you're eating. So hitting your protein and calorie goal on a Friday, for example, and then Saturday, let's say you have brunch, you're going to a baseball game or something, and then you're going out with your friends. Make that a calorie only day, meaning you're still prioritizing protein. You're not getting 0 grams of protein in that day. It's still very important to manage hunger levels. It really makes an impact on your body composition. So if you do like 5 calorie only days in a row just for fun and you don't eat any protein, your body composition is going to reflect that. I typically hear like after a trip, like I feel puffy, and it's obviously inflammation from drinking and traveling and things like that. But it's also because you're not prioritizing protein as much, so your body composition is reflecting that. So using a calorie and protein only option helps you have flexibility to put in alcohol for your carbs and fats. Once again, we don't want it to come from protein. And then it also helps you just to have fun and like focus on that 80-20 lifestyle. So on that one day where you're having calories only, let's say you have 30 to 40 grams of protein at each meal, you're still getting 100 plus grams of protein for like 3 meals a day or 2 meals with a ton of protein. So you're managing your hunger level. So you're not going into these social situations like attacking the snack bar, going back for seconds. You're still, you know, aligning your actions with your goals, but it gives you more flexibility. So you're not in MyFitnessPal all day trying to rework your puzzle of protein, carbs, and fat when you should be spending that quality time with your people.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this fourth tip and the fifth tip really do go hand in hand, because you guys know we talked about protein so much in relation to body composition, but when it comes to weight loss and weight gain, the number one contributor to either gaining that weight or losing that weight is going to be energy intake and energy output. So this is why, like, at the like last resort, like if we're going to do anything, like basically what I'm saying is like the most important thing to track if we're going to track something is going to be calories, especially over that weekend to control that total volume, which is our fifth tip. But calories are king, guys. You know, if it fits your macros is obviously a stance where like Christine and I are much bigger fans of focusing on quality nutrients, less processed nutrients. But, you know, in reality, we can, as long as we're controlling for that total amount of volume, can deviate, you know, from those so-called, you know, optimal foods or healthy foods and even have some of those like less optimal meals or foods. But as long as we're still in our calorie range, we can still lose weight. So obviously, like Christina said, the bloating and some inflammation and things like that are kind of beside the point. But when it comes to weight loss, weight gain, calories are king. And so that's why, like Christina said, it's really important for us to give those basically calorie only options for our clients. And then this also helps with just controlling that total volume. So like we said with Christina, kind of logging similar food items inside of her database that are very much so alike to what she's consuming, this does help us control for that total amount of volume. It gets us an idea of, okay, what is the total amount of calories in this salad, in this entree, you know, in this sandwich or in this wrap, like getting an idea of what is the total amount of calories that I'm consuming and how can we control that total amount of volume. So this is where, you know, being at a restaurant where they have like chips or something like that, basically something that's very easy to just snack on and accumulate a ton of volume at a high amount of calories. Like we want to try to avoid that. We want to try to be mindful if we are going to have like some of those more like snacky options, just being mindful of, okay, how much are we actually eating? Don't just get into that loop where, you know, you're just going and going and going and going before you know it, you're like sick to your stomach full. You know, be aware of that total volume, be aware of how much you're consuming in that moment, because it's very easy for us to just like stumble over the edge and accumulate so many calories. So we, again, kind of going back to what we said, we want to lessen the blow, we want to control that total volume and control that total amount of caloric intake.
Yeah, and when I was first starting my fitness journey, when I started my coaching business and I was documenting more of like practicing what I preach and being balanced and still crushing my goals, I worked at a taco restaurant and I would go there often to get dinner with my friends. And how I would lessen the blow, this example came to me as you were talking about the chips, because that was my biggest weakness. If you think about a meal at home, you have a protein source, a carb source, a fat source. You don't have like 6 different carb sources, but when we go out to eat, it's like the chips at the dinner and then the guac and then we get tacos and then we're drinking margaritas. That's like,
it's like boom, 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 before you know it.
Yeah, 4 or 5 carb sources and a small amount of protein. So what I started to do is if I'm going to have chips, I would have like chips and salsa versus chips and guac just because it adds up very quickly. And so I would have chips and salsa and then that would be my carb source for the dinner. So I wasn't going to get a bowl with rice and a bowl like going to tacos. I would get 2 big protein bowls and put them together. So I would get like a chicken bowl, like a build your own, and like a steak bowl, build your own. And I put it together because I could eat it with the chips and I wasn't going to get rice on top of it because I was also drinking a margarita. And to lessen the blow, that's when I started my skinny margarita era, because I wanted to have it's like volume eating, but with drinking. So you're choosing a 1% less calorie option, and then you can have more of them. So I would choose a skinny margarita, so I wasn't taking up too much of my carbs or calories. I chose to have a protein bowl with like lettuce and vegetables and stuff like that. And it may sound boring in the moment, but it's not about the food at restaurants and weekends. It's about the people that you're with, and you're able to create that balance, and nobody's even going to notice that you made a 1% better decision at the moment, you know. But something else I wanted to mention when you're eating out is to overestimate. So like Zach said, I always find options in my FitnessPal, and I'll find options like if my clients are going to a baby shower and they're using the one plate rule, which is where you just don't go back for seconds. It's used for holidays and like Christmas, Thanksgiving, things like that. But I can even find like a baby shower buffet, and then it's just like, it's basically a filler. Like it takes a chunk out of your calories, so you're not overexpending, you know, you're lessening the blow because you know, okay, I have 600 of my calories are going towards this meal. The rest of my day, now I have 2,400 or 1,400 to work with, and that helps you with logging. But I'd rather you overestimate something at a restaurant. If you type in like an entree, like that tuna steak bowl, I'm just going to use it as an example once again. If there was an option for 300 calories and it was a huge bowl, we know that's not right. Let's just be, you know, aware of that. You want to choose something that's more like 600 to 800 calories if you're eating out, just because the portion sizes are much bigger. You can't account for them cooking in oil or butter. So I would choose the highest calorie option and overestimate. And I also always tell my clients, like, I'd rather you log something over nothing, because you only get better at logging on the weekends by doing it. You only get more confident in the gym by putting in the reps. You have to put in the reps with my fitness pal too, logging a margarita, logging a hamburger with sweet potato fries. You have to get comfortable logging these things, and it's always better to log something in my fitness pal, choosing the highest calorie option, than absolutely nothing and saying, I don't remember what I ate, I'm just going to start over tomorrow. Because if you do that every weekend, it's going
to
add up.
Yeah, because if you're struggling to see the results you want to see, like something is not right, you know, and a lot of times it comes down to that, the total amount of calories that we are consuming over the weekend. Because if you're not, like Christina's saying, at least overestimating or at least logging something, it is going to be so easy. And I, like whenever we say this, especially, I know for me, I think Christina's even better at it than I am, but it's so easy for me to just stumble over into so many calories if I'm not at least getting something in there, or at least logging calories at the minimum, calories only. Because guys, I'm just telling you, it's so easy to stumble over into going way over, you know, that so-called nutrition budget, like we like to correlate it to.
Mm-hmm. It's just like budgeting with your finances. You have to know where you're at. And so that self-awareness is everything. And we're going to get later on in the episode into how you're going to do that without taking away the time with your people on the weekends. But my next tip, which is number 6, is to have a shake in the morning or front load with protein. This once again circles back to that Kelly Levesque lifestyle of the Fab Four, balancing your blood sugar, having protein in the morning. You want to start your morning with a win, because if you start your morning with something that does not align with your goals, like there's a coffee shop near us that we absolutely love and they have a lot of pastries. So if I were to start my morning with like a cinnamon roll, that sugar would have you crashing right afterwards. There's zero protein in it, and it's just a sugary start to your day. So you're already starting the day saying like, okay, this isn't my norm. Then the next meal is most likely going to be along those lines, versus starting your day with a win and front loading with protein. So if your first meal is within your control, meaning you're eating it at home, typically we'll, even when we have plans, we'll start our mornings, we'll go to the gym, we'll drink our water, we'll get a coffee, and then we go to the gym and just do like movement. We just get steps in, and then I'll have a shake in the morning just so I don't take up too much of my calories. My normal protein oat recipe that I have all week long is like 600 calories, which definitely isn't like, it is a pretty large meal for a woman, I will say, but at the same time, it's all relative. But at the same time, what we want to do is make sure we have enough calories to work with in the afternoon. If you're going out to eat, you don't want to get to the end of the day and you're choosing something at dinner and you're like, oh, I only have 400 calories left. You pretty much can't get anything at a restaurant that's 400 calories unless you get a side salad with chicken. I know this from experience, because this is what I used to do when I was competing and I try and go out to dinner. But I just have a shake in the morning with protein. So I'll either do a double scoop of my vegan protein or one scoop, an almond milk, a nut butter, but I'll just do one tablespoon because I also don't want to use up too many of my fats or calories. So I'll try to make this shake around like 400 calories. So it's a little bit less than my normal meal, but I'm getting in protein, I'm getting in healthy fats. I'll throw some fruits and veggies like my greens powder in there because I always forget my greens on the weekends. So that I'm starting the day with a win. It's balancing my blood sugar. It's really high in protein. And I had a breakfast without saying I'm going to fast all the way until I go out to eat with my friends, because then you're setting yourself up to fail, versus balancing your blood sugar, front loading your day with protein, and starting your day with a win. You're having fruits, you're having veggies, veggies, you're having fiber, which keeps you full. And that's really hard to get out when you're eating out is fiber, what I'm trying to say. Fiber and protein are really hard to, you know, rack up when you're eating out most of the weekend. So this sets your day up with a win, and you're front loading your day with a go-to meal you can bring with you pretty much anywhere. My clients will sometimes bring like their blender with them out of town, like those mini ones. We have one that's handheld. It looks just like a shaker with a button on it. So that's really easy to take with you if you want to control all the controllables.
Yeah, exactly. And even though this episode has been a lot about nutrition, this next tip has a little bit to do with movement. And so our seventh tip is keeping movement high throughout the weekend. And then we don't just mean working out. Like a lot of times, like we do not work out over the weekends. Obviously, sometimes we do, but not all the time. And what we find is that, and we see this a lot coaching clients, where just think about a typical week. You know, typically Monday through Friday, it's much easier. It's less resistant to crush, you know, your movement and your nutrition. But then when we get to the weekend, we tend to eat the most while also being the most sedentary. So if we think about what's happening to those nutrients, we're gonna be very, very susceptible to experience unnecessary weight gain and even fat mass gain from just being sedentary and increasing our calories more so than what they were during the week. Also filling those calories with less protein dense options. So you guys can kind of see how the formula sets us up for failure. And so this is why these tips are so crucial, and especially this one about keeping movement high. I'll just never forget, like when we go to Chicago or we go to DC or we've gone to these like Denver, these bigger cities, we have like 20 to 25,000 steps because we're just like walking everywhere. We're trying to get as much movement in as possible because we know our intake might be a little bit on the higher end depending on some of these foods that we're going to be eating out. But that's why just controlling at least the total amount of volume of calories and then also keeping that movement high is a surefire way to avoid, you know, some of those things that I just mentioned about overconsumption and then becoming more sedentary with our movement. So keep that movement high throughout the weekend so you can keep that momentum, not only like for your weight loss or fat loss journey, but keep that momentum going mentally, like just showing up and keeping your body moving, because it's going to help you maintain consistency. Because if our weekend and our weekends are significantly different, that's when we feel a lot of resistance going back into Monday. But the more similar we can make the habits during the week reflect over the weekends, the less resistance we're gonna feel coming into Monday. So that's why I think, even if it's just through steps, that's something that we always coach our clients on. Like we have our training days during the week, but that doesn't mean just get to the weekend and do, you know, absolutely nothing and sit down. You know, keep the body moving, go on steps, take the stairs, find every possible situation where you can accumulate more movement to keep that activity high as it relates to, you know, your consumption and your nutrition, but also, like I said, mentally, to keep yourself going and keep yourself consistent with that movement, regardless of what day it is, regardless if it's weekday, weekend, keep that movement high.
And typically on the weekends, we'll have an active rest day on Saturday, and I give that to my clients too, and they have the option to get their steps in through whatever movement feels good. So we'll typically go to the gym and we'll just like run and walk like in intervals, just because it gets our steps in much quicker versus just like walking for 30 minutes. We could do intervals of like walking and running every 2 minutes for like 15 minutes and be done with our steps. But we also have dogs, so we go on longer dog walks on the weekend. But a lot of my clients, and what I do too, is like if you do a spin class or you do like some kind of class with your friends, like a yoga class or a Pilates class, and then you go on a couple of longer walks, that can get your steps up. And you're also doing something different where it feels like a weekend. It's very social. You can make friends who like to do active things as well. But that also helps us take this with us when we travel. So if we have a hotel gym, we can just go walk on the treadmill, or some of them have Pelotons. I'll just do like a 30-minute Peloton ride. Or we'll just walk and get coffee and explore the city. And then before we know it, we look and we have like 15,000 steps. And even at home, like today, for example, is like a full rest day for us. That doesn't mean we're just like sitting down and getting zero steps. I recommend getting at least like 7,000 to 8,000 on your full rest day, just because that's preventing a sedentary lifestyle. Anything below 7,000 is sedentary. So even on our full rest days, like I just get my steps in because it makes me feel good and it just helps me recover. So movement is something you can take with you anywhere. You can take it with you when you travel, to hotels, when you're just like overall staying with someone. You can just go on a walk around. Like when I stay with my mom, we go on walks around her neighborhood, and that's not something we would have done previously, but now we enjoy it and it gives us even more quality time to be like off our phones. We're not watching TV. We're just walking around her neighborhood, just getting steps in. And to her, she's not like tracking her steps, but it's something we can do together that keeps us both active. And number eight is about controlling your hunger cues. And like I said in the beginning of this episode, how we started doing that was drinking more water and having less snacks in the house. We used to buy like 4 bags of the Lester Evil popcorn on a weekend when we were just staying home. And just because those snacks are there, we would want to eat them. So I think having like 1% better snacks, like now we just buy 1 bag of popcorn. We buy a ton of fruit. Like this weekend was Memorial Day weekend. We bought watermelon. We typically buy grapes. We buy blueberries, raspberries. But we still have something fun, like a so delicious ice cream sandwich in the freezer or popcorn in the pantry, but we're not like going all out on snacks because we want to listen to our hunger cues. And typically when you're eating something like that, you're not really hungry. You're just snacky and you're watching a movie. So it doesn't matter what you're eating. We'll buy like carrot chips.
It's like mindless eating.
Yeah. And so it's better to have something that's higher volume, lower calorie, just to snack on. But also drinking your water is something that, like, if you're out and about, I highly recommend you drink your water between drinks because that's going to slow down the pace of your alcoholic beverages. It's going to also lessen the blow of the hangover. And then it's going to keep you full. So you're not going to come home and have the drunk munchies, as you're not as likely to do that if you're drinking your water goal. So if you get hungry on the weekend, like in the afternoon, think about how much of your water goal you've hit. You can just get more water at restaurants. Like when we go out to eat, the waiter or waitress is like constantly filling up Zach's water. And I need to get better about that, but I front load and back load my water so much when we go out to eat that I'm not really thirsty when we're out at the restaurant. But just bring a water bottle with you if you're going to a workout class, if you're traveling, always have a water bottle with you because, like I said, most likely you're dehydrated, especially in the summer months and on the weekends, than hungry. So just make sure you're listening to your hunger cues and just stop when you're full. Just because you order a big dish and you logged it in MyFitnessPal and you don't have to eat it all. Like typically when you're drinking water, you're drinking alcoholic beverages and you're just like talking to the people you're with, when you slow down your eating, you're typically not even hungry when you're finishing your plate, it's just there. So typically what I do is I give it to Zach. Some of your significant other has a bigger appetite than you. Listen to your hunger cues and pass it off. Then you can change what you locked in MyFitnessPal. But just really focus on like hydrating, listening to your hunger cues, listening to your body, and making sure that you actually have snacks that align with your goals too if you're sitting at home.
Yeah, and those hunger cues have really saved me, especially using that hydration in those moments where you kind of know you've already had a lot to eat for that day and you're still feeling snacky, you're still feeling munchy. You know, pound some water and you will get a more realistic representation of are you really hungry or are you just kind of still in that mindless snacking mood? And so I feel like, you know, lessening the blow has just become a constant theme in this episode with all these different things. And I feel like it really stands out for number 9, which is drinking. And our tip for you guys is just to pick the low calorie options. You know, typically if you're having like a lighter, you know, beer, like 100 calorie beer, or like a light, you know, High Noon or something like that, White Claw, it's typically only like 100 to like 120 calories. So like, it's super easy to log. You know, you have five of them, that's, you know, about 500 or so calories. Where we get into trouble is where, you know, we have all these different like mixed sugary shots, mixed drinks with like all these different ingredients that we don't really, you know what they even are sometimes, or might even be difficult to track. So, you know, if we are going to have, you know, a so-called, you know, fun drink like that, try to make it like one or two and then swap to something that's going to be a little bit more low calorie. So we just have to think about, once again, you know, what is the total amount of calories like this specific drink is going to take up in my total amount of calories for the day or the weekend, you know, as a whole. And if you're smart and strategic about that, you can very much so have so much more basically alcohol incorporated into your weekend than you might realize. Because I think a lot of us are in that all or nothing where, you know, we're either having 10 plus drinks or no drinks at all. When in reality, you know, you can have that, you know, one to maybe five drinks, depending on the individual, depending on your goals, depending on what balance looks like for you. And you can crush it. You can do really well. I know Christina's really great about logging her alcoholic drinks whenever we're out to eat. I know, you know, whenever I am drinking, I'm much more mindful about my total volume by just incorporating this small little habit where, you know, you're actually tracking and actually gaining awareness about how many calories am I really consuming from an alcohol standpoint, because it's very easy. This is another one, kind of like the snacking and things like that, where it's very easy to just like stumble into, you know, 400, 500, maybe even 1,000 calories from drinking before we realize it. And it's liquid. And so a lot of us don't think, you know, subconsciously that it counts, for example. You know, it's very easy to just look at that alcohol as like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just drinks. It's just, you know, liquid calories. But those liquid calories do count and they can add up significantly.
And speaking of liquid calories, I'm going to circle back to alcohol here in a second. Your coffee calories do count as well. So today we actually had 2 lattes. So that was like almost 300 calories because of the oat milk. So lattes are obviously higher in calories. So once again, having one fun drink and one lower calorie drink. When we're traveling, if we have 2 coffees in a day, like we typically wake up super early, we'll get a latte because that's our like fun coffee. I still log my latte, like an oat milk latte is around 140, 150 calories, depending on the size. Then if we get another coffee later on, I would choose a lower calorie option like an iced Americano or a nitro cold brew. We'll typically do nitro with oat milk because that's like very little calories. And that's just like choosing a fun drink for alcohol, like a beer, then switching to a vodka soda or tequila soda. Those are around 100 calories each, like a shot of vodka, shot of tequila, and soda is zero calorie. But just be very mindful, tonic is not zero calorie. That's pretty much a soda, but it is kind of like used interchangeably as soda water, but it is very different calorically and with sugar. So I would choose like my go-to is a skinny margarita. I actually have a go-to one. I always screenshot to my clients when they're like, how do I log a skinny marg? And I just literally looked up in my MyFitnessPal skinny margarita, and I think one serving is 12 ounces, and I just change the ounces based on how many I'm gonna have. So I kind of overestimate. Like if I know I'm going out to dinner and we're gonna be out all night, I'll overestimate and log 5 just so I have enough calories for it. If I end up only having 4, that's also okay. So overestimate just like we do with your food, but just be very mindful. It does add up quickly. Even with low calorie options, the most I can fit into my calories and not go overboard is like 4, to be honest. So 4 to 5 is that max. I would say it depends on what you're eating for dinner, what your day looks like, what time of day you're going out. But liquid calories, both coffee and drinking, do add up. So choose 1% better options for sure. And number 10, this kind of encompasses everything because we're talking about logging at restaurants. And a lot of you are probably thinking like, how do I log when I'm out to eat with my friends or people who just like don't get this macro lifestyle or your family members? What we do, and it's kind of funny because like the first time I went out with Zach, I was like, oh, I looked at the menu beforehand, and I typically don't admit that, but he's like, so did I. And that's when I realized like I'm not the only person who looks at menus beforehand. It was really nice actually, because I picked out what I wanted ahead of time so I could pre-log it. So when we're on our date, I'm not like, okay, I want this thing. I'm like, hold on 1 second. Stop what you're saying. Let me log it in MyFitnessPal. Or on the alternative, you're so in the moment, which is very understandable. And then at the end, you're like, I forget what I had, or like, I don't know what the portion sizes were, so I'm just not going to log anything. And both of those things are working against you and your goals. If your goals are really important to you, you will control all the controllables ultimately. So we talk a lot in this podcast. We have a whole episode about being proactive and pre-logging, which is essentially plugging in what you want for dinner at a restaurant and backlogging your day. So the one main like reasons and one of the main dinners out where I've really focused on this is when we go get pasta, for example, because it's low in protein and it's very high in just like calories and portion size, but I still make it work. So I'll pre-log a pasta, I'll choose the highest calorie option, typically add a sausage to it to increase the protein. I'll typically have a glass of wine. So that right there is almost 1,000 calories. And so even when I'm cutting, obviously that's a good chunk of my calories. So I'll use like a calorie only day here with protein in each meal. And what I call with my clients a success range. So the software Zach and I both use, it gives like a little bit of wiggle room. So if your calorie goal is 2000, you can go 1800 or 2200 and still get what we call a gold star. So you're still close enough to your goal where you're still consistent and you get a gold star. You get like a W for the day versus an L, because that prevents the all or nothing mindset. If I'm at 2200 calories and my goal is 2000, it's a hell of a lot better than being at 2500 or 2800, because once you go over, I know old me, I used to say like, oh, I went over by 100, I might as well just keep going because why not? Today's already ruined. But that mindset really holds you back. In the weekends is where I see it a lot with people who come into coaching. And I like to use this reference of like, if you get a flat tire, you don't go around and say, oh, my car's already ruined, I'm going to go slash the other 3 tires. Just because you have one small mishap, it doesn't mean like the whole car is ruined. It doesn't mean every tire is ruined. So one like 100 or 200 calories over your goal isn't going to ruin your day, but I wouldn't abuse this success range. I've done this in the past too, where I see that gold bar still there for myself and I'm like, oh, I can do that every day. By the end of the day, calories in versus calories out on a weekly basis is where you lose weight. So if you're using that success range every single day, you're going to be at a higher calorie intake, meaning you're maybe at maintenance versus a calorie deficit. So I would save it for one day when you know you're going to be having fun. Like for us, like I said, that pasta dinner out, I would use my success range on this day because if my pasta, the sausage I add to it, and the wine, if I pre-log it, that's 1,000 calories, then I know I can still have enough for breakfast and lunch. Use my success range if maybe I want to have another glass of wine or my breakfast was a little bit more calories than I accounted for. It's still a win for the weekend. And I stayed within my success range. I pre-logged what I wanted ahead of time. So when we're at dinner, I'm not in MyFitnessPal the whole time. We do this when we go out with friends, when we go out with family, when we travel, we look up the menu beforehand and pre-log. It's just like when you know you have a trip coming up, for example, at the end of the month, and you have to space your budget out from the first of the month or the 31st. If you know you have a big trip at the end of the month, you're kind of saving throughout the month. You're not making silly decisions with spending money. So over the month, you're just very mindful because you know this chunk of my budget for my plane ticket, for my Airbnb is going to this trip. You can't spend that money and then get to your trip and say, oh, I'm just going to go into debt and put out my credit card. It's just the same thing as going over your calories. Now you are in a calorie it's not a debt because it's actually a surplus. You're spending more than you had accounted for, which means you're going to gain weight. It's the same as financially going over your budget, and now you're in the negative, you're in debt, which isn't a good feeling. And obviously it's not aligning with your goals. We're big budget people, we're big financial people because of our financial coach, because we have someone holding us accountable. And when we have clients, obviously we're holding them accountable, and that's when pre-logging becomes second nature, and it actually takes all the stress out of your week and your weekends. So I typically recommend pre-logging every day, just because when you go throughout your day and you don't look at your to-do list, you're just kind of going with the flow. It can be even more stressful, but pre-logging simplifies things because all you have to do is execute. You just look at MyFitnessPal, you're like, here's the portions, here's what I'm having. Now I just have to act. You don't have to do all of the mental math. Pre-log, plan ahead, and it really eases the complications we give ourselves and then just the resistance we create on our own on the weekends especially. So pre-log at restaurants, look up the menu beforehand, then backlog your day, and just be very mindful of how much you save. I don't want to see you saving, if your goal is 2,000 calories for the day, I don't want to see you saving 1,800 for a dinner and drinks and dessert, because then that's a 200 calorie breakfast, which is not going to keep you full. So use all of these tips with the process of pre-logging, and it's really going to help you crush the weekend and feel confident going into Monday without feeling like you're starting over every single week. So we hope you guys enjoyed today's episode all about weekends. Obviously today is Sunday, but it's Memorial Day weekend. So if you guys have plans tomorrow, it's still your weekend. It's a 4-day weekend for most people. So I want you guys to implement these tips. Like I said, you don't have to go 0 to 100 and implement every single one right away, but just slowly start to make 1% better decisions with your drinking, looking at the menu beforehand, start to add in morning movement and that shake in the morning, or have two larger meals if you have plans for a dinner out. And over time, this stuff will become second nature and you won't even have to think about it. The weekends will just be like any other day, and you'll feel confident navigating them with drinking, with eating, and most importantly, with the people you're spending time with. You don't want to be worrying about all these things when you are having conversations at dinner, or when you're with your friends out to eat, or drinking after dinner. Just do this work ahead of time, do the legwork, pre-log, be proactive, and that will help you balance these weekends and just like that, a balanced way. So we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please share on your story. Tag me, tag Zach, tag Life Rewired, and check the show notes for all of our links for coaching, for Nash. And we also have a feedback form if you guys have anything you want to hear in the months to come. But we hope you guys have an awesome Memorial Day weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Peace out, guys.